Good morning and welcome to Neocotti View. I'm Peter Newman. Oh, it's almost that time of year again. We get to talk about Manzanita, which is one of the great events of Manzanita. Dan Nichols, guess the guy who organized it. Did you actually start Manzanita? Was it your brainchild?
Yeah, it was my brainchild, so yeah. Yep.
What was the inspiration?
Well, we wanted to do some type of a charity event, and Manzanita's kind of unofficial nickname is Manzanita, so there's so many dogs, so it seemed a natural name for the event. And the contests and stuff just fell together, given our location and everything that's happens here. It just all kind of fell into place quite well.
What year is it for Manzanita?
This is our fifth year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's time has flown.
Has it grown every year?
It has grown every year. This year it'll be interesting. It's our first time doing it in the fall, and so we'll see how that changes the crowd dynamic. But we're still looking forward to a good event.
September is always beautiful here. So
it's a gorgeous month, and the weather should be nice. Fingers crossed. So.
That probably answers the next question about when Manzanita is.
This year it's September 14th.
That's a great time of year to have something. And, you know, how many dogs usually participate? We'll talk about the participants and the owners, but the dogs themselves.
Dogs themselves, well, the pet parade will usually get between 50 and 100 dogs kind of going down Lanita. It's quite the sight. We actually have people camping out, not quite like the 4th of July here, but, you know, maybe eventually. And then in our actual events, we between 20 and 30 dogs, typically.
You hear any noises in the background? It is because we are recording this right outside of Four Paws on the Beach, which is Dan's establishment. And, you know, it's a busy summer, and people coming and going, and construction is being done, and every now and then we'll have a little gust of wind. But as you say, it's so pleasant here that I don't even mind, and I think it's going to be a great event. Oh, it's on the 14th of September. What exactly is going to happen? When do things start? And walk us through the day. On a leash, perhaps.
On a leash, yeah. Well, it'll start here in our courtyard, actually where we're sitting. We'll have our registration. We'll have a lot of things going on, as we're having now. The people will register for our events, and around 11 a.m. our pet parade will start. And we'll start here at the store, and we'll go down to the beach. Being led by, we're going to have Disaster Dog this year.
What's Disaster Dog?
He is somebody who helps out with Red Cross, helps with kids during emergency preparedness, kind of a fun way to teach kids emergency maneuvers. And so he's agreed to be our esteemed leader of our pet parade this year. He's going to lead us down the street. Then on the beach itself, this year we're going to have an extended Chuck It toss contest.
You got to explain Chuck It for those that have never seen it in the flesh.
Well, Chuck It's are those little throwers you see on the beach that let you launch a ball, well, pretty much as far as you want to. And so we have a contest every year where the dog has to go at least 50 feet and retrieve the ball. And the fun part of it is we don't stop the timer until the owner has the ball back in their hand. So sometimes that can be quite entertaining with that.
Yeah, sometimes the dogs, I've seen it before, are really good at going after the ball, not so good at getting it back to the owner.
That's usually pretty typical. Well, there'll be great enthusiasm on the way out and less than enthusiastic on the way back sometimes. So. And some of them will get lost and some of them will visit the crowd. So always entertaining. But this year we're going to do, in past years we've only had one run. So, you know, one time and that's it. But it's such a popular contest, we've decided to expand it, and we'll have at least two runs per dog this year. So, you know, best time of the two, and crown a winner from that.
And then after that, there's a fashion show.
There is a fashion show and a talent show.
No talent show, too.
Yeah, there's both. And it's been growing every year. We've had... I think in the first year we had maybe about 10 or 15 in each contest, and I think last year we had well over 20-25
per
contest.
And they're really talented dogs.
They are. Some of the tricks are amazing. Some of the outfits are really fun. The audience really gets into it, and it's I think the highlight of our event.
Yeah, and I recall last year, I think you were doing some of the judging and talking from the little stage, and you asked where people were from, and it's not just from the immediate North Coast area. People really come from a distance.
They come from a distance. I think our record is we had a family in from Spain who came to the event, and they actually entered a dog into the talent show, and that was kind of fun for them. So
see, that ought to be a category, farthest travel, you know, or something like that.
It could be. We had some last year. We had longest tail and tallest dog, but we could have the furthest away. That might be a good one to add.
Our guest this morning on Neocotti View is Dan Nichols, who is the organizer and impresario, if you will, for Mutzanita, which is a benefit event that's taking place September 14 in Manzanita. I want to go back to something which we talked about in fun, but I know there's a more serious thing lurking underneath it or beside it, and that's the disaster dog. Dogs are pretty... I'm a cat person. I would not have a disaster cat because I don't think that would work very well, but dogs are pretty amazing when it comes to helping out in disasters and just being perfect companions and helpers of people.
They really can. They have a very calming effect on people. They're very good for therapy, but in a disaster, you know, having your dog with you, that's a very big comfort to a lot of people.
And the other side of this, and this would apply for both dog and cat people, is if something happens, I mean, we're always talk about, you know, the inevitable tsunami or even just the course of natural events, having a plan, not just for yourself, but for your animal companion is important as well.
It's very important. You know, in a disaster, you don't have time to think, and you want to have that plan. You want to know exactly what you're going to do. You want to have that emergency kit, not only for yourself, but for your pets. You know, they have medications, they have dietary needs, and you want to make sure that you have that with you, because in an event of a disaster, those may not be available for a while.
So if you think you need a week's worth of food for you, you better have a week's worth of food for your animal.
Yeah, that's true. Animals can get by with less than normal, but you know, ideally you would have at least 3 or 4 days food with your pet, and of course any essential medications, because those won't necessarily be available in the event of an emergency. And that's one of the things we're going to have at Mutzanita, is a whole booth that talks about pet emergency preparedness, having a photo of you and your pet, having that information, and sort of also knowing what kinds of things can happen to your pet here on the coast. You know, we have issues with Giardia, we have issues with other things, you know, wild salmon, that you need to be aware of when you come visit, not necessarily to scare people, but to make sure they're prepared and they know what to do in case something does happen.
Well, let's get into that. What are some things that commonly people may not be aware of, but really should be?
Well, the one I just mentioned, Giardia.
Which is what?
It's a bacteria, typically from cow feces, but also other wild animal feces. In stagnant water, it can grow. The animal drinks the water and then can get quite sick from it. It's not necessarily life-threatening, but it is something that if you see your dog vomiting or having diarrhea, you know, you want to make sure that that's not one of the things that's causing it. The other one, which is much more serious, is salmon poisoning. And wild salmon, uncooked, does have a bacteria that is deadly to dogs. And if it's not caught quickly enough, it can kill them.
What are the symptoms?
I don't know all of the symptoms, but being lethargic, obviously not wanting to eat, being nauseous. But, you know, if you see your dog eating something on the beach, you're not sure what it is, safest bet is go to your vet, have them test for it, because if they catch it early, it can be treated. Our neighbor's dog had it just not that long ago, but they were aware, went to the vet very early, got him on the medication, and the dog pulled through just fine.
Well, we'll get back to serious stuff in a bit, but I want to talk about the Mutzanita, because that is so much fun. And, well, I guess this is both serious and fun, and that is the people who and the organizations that you're helping out by doing this. It's really kind of a nice thing to have fun and support a couple of really great organizations.
That's true. And I think as in years past, we will have enough in donations prior to the event that every dollar people spend the day of the event will go to charity. In fact, we'll have even more than that, hopefully. This year, we've added a third charity. In years past, we've supported United Paws, which is our local sort of animal shelter, animal fostering, do-all, be-all with animals in Tillamook County. Our local Rotary Club has been a beneficiary since the very first year. And this year, we're adding the Emergency Volunteer Corps as a third group. They do a lot of great work in the community to, like we said, getting us prepared in the case of an emergency, not only for people, but for their pets as well.
And we should give a big thank you to the sponsors, Manzanita Fresh Foods, Manzanita Grocery and Deli, Walton K. Covert, Law Manzanita, Howell's Floor Coverings, Bonfire Beach Provisions, Manzanita Bikes and Boards, Manzanita Rental Company, Spindrift Inn, and Manzanita Golf Course. Some good folks have signed on for this.
Thanks for being our MC again this year.
And so the dollars you raised, you've raised what, $25,000?
We have raised, so far, yeah, we have raised $25,000
wow,
in 4 years,
great.
Which beat my wildest expectations when we started this event, that's for sure. And, you know, I'm hoping for another great year, and maybe we can break 30,000 this year.
So what got you into this? You do run Four Paws on the Beach here in Manzanita, but what's your personal interest in dogs, and how did you make it both your vocation and, in this case, your avocation?
Basically, I'm a reformed software engineer. My wife and I both spent the first part of our years in a cubicle and decided that really wasn't a good way to live a life. And one day we were both just talking, well, what else would we do? And we both love the beach. We both love Manzanita. And in all of our visits here, we, you know, dogs everywhere, but nothing really necessarily catering to them. And decided that opening a pet store on the beach, you know, what could be better than petting puppies for a living? So we made the leap, and we've had great support within the community. Really welcomed us, and I think show a tremendous support to keep us in business in the winter. And we just love it here.
Yeah, all of these businesses up and down the coast are obviously cyclical with the season. So maybe put on another hat. That's just a small business owner in the Manzanita area. How's business been through the summer, and how do things go off season? How does that work for you and the others who make a living here?
Well, to your first question, this year's been good. We had the either fortune or misfortune, depending on how you look at it, of opening up in 2007, right when you know what hit the fan. And so for us, every year has been a little bit better. I know a lot of the businesses that were open prior to 2007, I think they're just now starting to get back to those levels. But, you know, winters are tough here. And without the support of the local residents, the support of the second homeowners who still come in the winter, it would be tough for a lot of us to make it through. And so that's one thing that we're very thankful for. You know, I grew up back east, and it's not necessarily a strong local business vibe back east. You know, it's what chain store can I go to and that sort of thing, where I think in Oregon and especially on the coast, there's a very strong sentiment to support local business. And that's really, I think, what keeps us all going.
We're talking with Dan Nichols, who owns Four Paws on the Beach in Manzanita and also is the organizer of Mutzanita, which takes place on September 14. And if you hear any odd noises or winds, we're in this lovely courtyard outside the Four Paws building. And, you know, there's activity here, which is, from your point of view, as you just say, very good.
It's always good.
Nice seeing people walking around.
Yeah, busy is good.
Busy is good. United Paws, that's one of the organizations that that you work with and help out. You said it's sort of the catch-all of animaling in Tillamook County. Compared to other counties, for example, Clatsop, which we're also is listening to us this morning, Tillamook doesn't seem to have a very organized, let's say, governmental approach to handling its animals. It's sort of, if it weren't for United Paws, what would happen in this county?
Well, that's a scary thought. The volunteers at United Paws are tremendous. There's no paid staff. It's all people doing this on their own free time. A lot of times, spending their own money to help outfit dogs to get the traps, get the food, those sorts of things. And they really rely on fundraisers like ours to kind of make it through. And really, without them, they've done so much spay and neutering of feral cats. If you think there's a cat problem in Tillamook County now, if they weren't here, it would be way, way, way worse. And so the work they do to spay and neuter, to foster animals, to get animals out of abusive environments, it's invaluable.
And they do it, as you say, with volunteers and really on a shoestring. Though you and others really come down to help them, and that really does make a big difference, because all that costs money.
It does. Spaying and neutering a pet. A lot of the local vets do give them a good price on it, but it costs money to have a cat spayed or neutered. They'll bring people who otherwise couldn't afford it to the vet for vet visits. It's really something where every dollar they get, it's going out and helping the community.
You mentioned veterinarians. Is there something about living here that we as dog and cat owners, or other animals for that matter, should know that's unique? I know you mentioned the salmon, but there must be a whole category of things or derogatory of things that you have to pay special attention to around here?
There are. Obviously, fleas and ticks. We're kind of lucky where we are. It seems like there's about a 4-block radius from the beach where fleas and ticks aren't that bad, but you get even further inland than that. And typically, fleas and ticks are a big issue. Ticks, as everybody knows, can carry different diseases, and you need to be aware of that. And just the general being around the beach. I mean, there's hazards there, riptides and logs in the water and very cold water, even though most dogs can handle it. Still, it can be an issue for pets.
And raccoons and coyotes, too.
Definitely raccoons and coyotes. Here in Manzanita, we do have definitely an issue. It's kind of people sometimes want the cats outdoors, and while I think it's probably a more rich life for the cats, it's often a much shorter life given the amount of coyotes that are out here and everything. And so it's one of the things where you kind of risk it. In fact, I was just getting my hair cut. Murphy is one of the volunteers at United Paws, and she was working in her yard, and a coyote attacked her cat. And she was able to scream at it and run at it and chase it and get it
right
to release
there when
it.
She was there.
Right when she was there. And fortunately, they were able to get the cat to the vet, and with some emergency care, the cat's going to pull through. But, you know, even right there in front of you, it can happen.
Is rabies a problem around here?
You know, not that I'm aware. I know they did have one of the coyotes, I think it was last summer, they had to hunt it down because it did have rabies. It was actually... It bit a child, and they had issues with that. But in general, I haven't heard that much. But it doesn't mean that other parts of the county aren't having those issues.
And it does speak to, if you're going to have an outdoor animal like a cat, you probably want to have the vaccinations and the shots all up to date.
Vaccinations, shots, you definitely want to get them microchipped. We want to get them, have a tag on them. I know cats, it's a little harder because they can lose their collars pretty easily. But definitely a microchip is critical if you want to get reunited in case they get lost.
Yeah, it surprises me how relatively few people either don't chip their animal or aren't aware of it, so that if they find a lost animal that they follow through by going to a veterinarian or someone who can read the chip.
Yeah, it's not an expensive procedure, and it's really can mean the difference between never seeing your pet again and getting reunited.
Yeah, I just had... Our new entry to the family chipped, and it's amazing at how simple it is. I mean, it's this little thing that just kind of gets injected under the skin. Yeah. It takes all of 30 seconds.
Yeah, it doesn't take long, doesn't hurt the animal at all, and gives you peace of mind.
Well, back to Manzanita for a moment. We're talking with Dan Nichols, who organizes this event every year to raise money for some really great organizations in the Tillamook County area. For you, what's the most fun? What part of the day really pulls your leash?
Well, probably two parts. I really enjoy the excitement of the Chuck It Toss contest. I think that gets the crowd really into it, and it's just a lot of fun. And really at the end of the day, when we can kind of look back, you know, see everybody's smiling face and kind of know, okay, we did something good today, and, you know, just sort of having that feeling that, okay, this is really worth all the effort and worth all the time, and knowing that we did something good.
Yeah, it really ends up being kind of a party. I sort of liken it to the Manzanita, as you mentioned earlier, 4th of July parade. It's not that there's any one specific thing, but just kind of hanging out in the crowd and just seeing all the happy faces and happy dogs. It's a wonderful thing.
Definitely.
You also have a silent auction, too. Right?
We do have a silent auction.
What can I bid on?
Well, we'll have lots of different things. Donations are still rolling in, and I think when this airs, we'll still have time for more donations, so feel free to drop them off at the store. We'll typically have a lot of pet-related items, dog collars and leashes and toys and those sorts of things. We will get hotel stays as items. We'll get, last year, United Paws donated a spay and neuter. People could bid on that to get their pet spayed or neutered. We'll have arts. We're also going to have a very exciting Design Your Own Dog Bowl contest again this year.
How does that work?
That works. We have pre-made bowl forms, and we have times set up at the Hoffman Studio, their clay center, where you can paint and fire and make your bowl. And I know they're organizing a few parties for kids to do that. We're going to have upwards of 30 bowls this year, that'll be entered. And so what we do is we have a silent auction of the bowls themselves, and so people can bid on those and take them home. And there's some just absolutely gorgeous bowls. We have one in our store that was sort of submitted already for people to look at. And we also have a what we call Chicago-style vote for your favorite bowls. And by that we mean you can purchase votes, doggy biscuits at 25 cents a piece, and vote for your favorite bowl. And the winners of those, the creators will get a prize from the event as well. So.
Oh, that's fun. I also see that there's some vendor and product demonstrations, and I don't want to turn this into a commercial for any given product or vendor, but in general, you know, what's new in the pet product world? Are there things that if we've been shopping around 10 or 15 years ago, we wouldn't have seen that are now around, or what's been improved?
Made more expensive. Well, everything's more expensive, unfortunately. Well, obviously healthy pet food. 10-15 years ago, you would have been hard pressed to find organic dog food, for instance. But now that's fairly common to find organic dog food, to find grain-free dog food, which is, I think, a much healthier diet for most animals. Lots of fun toys, and definitely, I think if you go back 10 or 15 years ago, just an absolute explosion in dog collars, fashion for dogs. If you want it, from anywhere from your plain, you know, black leash to your diamond encrusted leash, it's out there.
See, I want to be in the room where those people are thinking about these designs and what's a new toy that I can designed for my dog, and by the way, here's how I'm going to go test it. Now that would be
fun.
Think you're living the dream. That might be it too.
Well, we can talk to the guy who invented the Chuck-It, because he's retired in Fiji right now.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, he's doing well. Actually, one of my new favorite ones we just got is kind of on that Chuck-It theme. It's a launcher, a little slingshot launcher, and there are different interchangeable toys that you can put on it. There's ducks and frogs and other things, and you can launch them about 50 feet for your dog to go retrieve and bring back to you.
And some of these items will be on display?
Definitely. We'll have them on display. Hopefully, we'll have some donations to bid on them, too. And like I say, there's lots of fun out there.
So, going forward, I know you're going to be doing this next year, and hopefully the year beyond that, and the year beyond that. How does a local event, I mean, I understand how it gets started, but then how does it kind of grow? And as you go forward, it's an awful lot of work. You got to work with the vendors. You have to work with the volunteers and the organizations that you're helping. I guess first we should start, when did you start working on this in any given year? And then are you starting to already think about, let's see, it's Mutsunita 2014?
Well, pretty much about a week or two after the event, and we always have a meeting to go over what went well, what can we improve, what can we change. And really, probably right after Christmas is when I start. I'll contact vendors, and I'll start getting in donations, and we'll start figuring out people's schedules and who can help out and organizing meetings. We meet about once a month just to kind of go over everything. You know, some things take a lot of lead time. A good example of that is our pet parade. There's a permit we have to get for that.
I was just going to ask you, as you were saying, I think, you know, you just can't run a bunch of dogs down the street without asking somebody about that.
Yeah, Manzanita has a special event permit, and what we have to do is go to every business that is affected by the street closure, make sure they're okay with it, and that has to get submitted to the city council, who's been very supportive of our event, and they help approve that. But it does take time.
How about at the beach?
We do have to get a state permit from the beach.
Are there cleanup issues?
They ask us to clean up, but we always, with all of our goodie bags, we give out pet waste rolls so that the owners themselves have something to pick it up with. And in years past, we've really had good participation in that so that we don't have a lot of cleanup. But, the state permit, the nice thing is now being in our fifth year, I contacted Billy Seeger, who's in charge of those, and said, hey, we're going to do it again this year. And she said, give me the forms and you're approved. So it takes planning, it takes advanced thought to get all it done.
And I imagine the merchants you probably don't get too many complaints from persons. This is bringing people into town and showcasing the town is not a bad thing.
Yeah, especially I think this year we've gotten very positive feedback. In years past, we've had it in August, and you know, that's already a busy time of the year. But having it in September, I think, helps. You know, we talked about the cyclical nature of business here. Well, that helps extend it just that much further. Maybe another busy weekend, a few more people in town, you know, a few more rooms full, a few more restaurant tables full. And the local response to moving it out into September has been very, very positive.
You know, we've been describing this and talking about it, but really you should direct people to the website because there are wonderful photographs on the website. It tells you all the schedule of events and who that you're helping out. Go to the website just for the photos alone. I mean, you did a really great job.
Yeah, every year, Stuart Martin, he recruits a bunch of photographers. I believe last year they took over 3,000 photos, and some of them are just spectacular. Dogs in action, people having fun. And the website is mutzanita.com. It's mutzanita.com. And there you can go. You can see who our sponsors are. You can see the photos. You can download a registration form and get all the info you need.
And before we leave, just run down the schedule again, which the event is September 14th, starts at 10 o'clock.
Right? Registration starts at 10. Pep Parade starts at 11 with the Chuck It Toss sort of immediately following the Pep Parade. And then we'll come back up here to the courtyard. We'll have our fashion and talent show. The silent auction will be going on, the vendor booths, and just all sorts of fun happening all afternoon until about 3 o'clock.
And it's mutzanita.com if you want to get some more information about this. Dan, before I let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot, and you might answer this the way a parent talks about their children if they have more than one. What's your favorite dog?
Well, my favorite dog is a Newfoundland. We have two. So, I'll hold Shanti's ears when I'm holding this, but our boy Indy is just, he's a once in a lifetime dog. Mm. You know, he's got a lot of health issues, but he's just the happiest, bravest dog I've ever met.
But as a breed, you'd go for the Newfoundland.
What
do they like?
Well, think Black St. Bernard. In fact, Newfoundland's helped St. Bernard's, recover after World War II. They were almost extinct, and so Newfoundlands and St. Bernards have a lot in common, but they're big, they're black, usually, and well, our boy's 125 pounds and our girl's 140, so they're big and furry and slobbery.
That's a lot of dog to handle.
Well, you know, it is and it isn't. They aren't super high energy. Well, our girl is, but mostly, they aren't super high energy. They actually make very good apartment dogs, surprisingly enough. As big as they are, they're more than content to, as I say, perfect their rug trick.
Well, I wanted to get it from you, what that is. And since I'm the cat person here, I'm going to put in a plug for Siamese cats.
So here that's we go. We have a 20-year-old black and white tuxedo kid.
Oh, good. And yeah. They all get along.
They get along, yep. Our cat's raised 3 Newfoundlands so far.
Mutzanita, it takes place September 14. Registration is at 10, and it goes with, just a great party till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and do try to get in there. It's just a lot of fun. It's down in Manzanita, and Dan Nichols is the organizer. You can learn more about Mutzanita at Mutzanita, that's with 2 T's, and then just add the Zanita onto it, .com. And Dan, as always, great pleasure. See you on the 14th.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for being our MC again this year.
Thank you.